Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
The Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast. This week we have the episodes Right On, and the Kecleon Caper. And just a quick reminder, this is an E4 explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, Alex.
Hello.
Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm good. I'm high energy. I'm pepped up because I was hungry, but now I've got my leftover Waffle House in front of me, and I couldn't be happier.
Got that All-Star in front of you?
That's damn right. All-Star special or bust. You can't get anything else if you go to Waffle House.
That's right. And speaking of Waffle, our other co-host, Austin, is here.
You know, I have a question for you, Jacob.
Yes.
It used to be I was introduced first, but now I'm always introduced second. Why is that?
That's not true. You were first last week.
Yeah, but that was an aberration.
Jacob likes me better.
That's just fine.
Kidding. No, I think it came to every time I would say Alex first, she would just complain. So I was like, I'm just going to keep doing that.
Did I complain? Oh my God, did I complain?
I would desensitize to her being first. So I think we've worked that out now.
No, that's not the reputation I want, okay? I don't want to be the complainer.
Too late.
Oh, geez.
In the podcast feed credits, it says Alex, Austin, and Jacob, because we're in alphabetical order.
Can I complain about that? Why am I last?
Yeah, you can.
That's not fair. Come on.
Well, get an A name. You'll be at the front more often.
I'm going to change my name to Aiden.
That's what they do on TV shows when they have an ensemble cast. It's in alphabetical order. So it's all fair.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. Do they really do that? Because I feel like the star...
Yeah, they really do that.
Okay. I feel like the star is always first, but okay.
Well, it's an ensemble cast.
Like Friends?
Yes.
That's enough about names.
Okay.
What if we done that? Well, tell us your name. Send it out to drawingpan@gmail.com.
Yes, please do.
We'd love to get to know you. Austin, since I introduced Alex first, I'll ask you first, what have you done this week?
I've been hanging out with Alex for the last 4 days.
Whoa.
Really?
That was not planned. That just kind of ended up happening.
Wasn't it planned? I feel like it was.
Some of it was. It was kind of like haphazard. Mm. First, we did bar trivia and Lost. Then we just kind of kept on hanging out, and then eventually we went furniture shopping and didn't buy any furniture.
You got lost?
You can't just go and buy furniture.
You got lost or what? You watched Lost?
We lost at bar trivia.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What was the topic?
Nerd trivia.
Can you give me a question and see if I can answer it? Do you remember any?
Who is the child of Scott Summers and Madeline Pryor?
Oh my God. Never mind. We'll move on. I have no idea who those people are. I've never heard those names before. Is that Cyclops?
Yes, it is. You have
Oh, I mean, actually, I do know. Okay, it's Radar. That's his X-Men
no.
name.
Radar.
That's his X-Men name.
Suddenly, we're in MASH.
I've never seen MASH. Is that weird?
No, it's not.
No.
Have you seen it, Alex?
I mean, I've seen a couple episodes of it, but I can't really say I've seen it. No.
I have never. I just know that the last episode was like the most watched thing ever. That sounds fun, though. I would have been useless at that trivia, as you can tell.
We invited you.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done any good.
I think, was it like, we had 18 points at the end, and the winning team had like 65 points, so.
Yeah, something like that.
Holy cow. Sports trivia I'm good at.
Yeah, there was no sports trivia.
Yeah.
This was not that kind of audience.
I'm always bad at sports and music trivia. Those are two topics I don't know anything about.
I'd probably be okay at music. Like I said, if it's Marvel or like nerdy trivia, I just don't do well.
We were going to do Marvel trivia, but I didn't make a reservation in advance, so we couldn't get in.
Okay, so really quick though, the place we went, because we were kind of getting like bummed out a little, not like seriously bummed out, but just like, oh my God, these questions are so hard. But our server came around and told us that don't feel bad because this guy is known for like specifically making his questions like really hard.
And I've seen him before at different places. He goes around doing this.
Is this a volunteer or is this like someone gets paid to do this?
I have no idea.
I'm sure he gets paid. I'm sure he's with like a trivia company or something.
Were they all hard or did it kind of scale up? Did it start like easy or was it right off the bat?
I think it depends on if you know the answer or not, you know?
But like if it was like, who's Scott Summers? I'd have been like, I think I know that one. But the child of Scott and April Flowers, whoever you said, that other name.
April Flowers.
I would have been like, I have no idea. I didn't even know X-Men mated with each other. So I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh my God,
that's
everybody's
all they ever do.
Having
that's
orgies all
they
all
ever
the time.
Do.
Oh, they're really horny over there in the X-Men.
Oh, Jacob, I have so much to
teach
you.
I don't think I want to know. Austin, what's the... I'm okay.
What's the horny island that they always go to?
Krakoa.
I think I'm okay.
Oh, you don't want to see some images? Okay, that's too bad.
I think I'm okay. I'll skip on that. Cool, Austin. Anything else?
There was a lot of stuff. Yeah, Alex can tell us some more.
Oh.
I guess the weeks will mimic each other a little bit. Y'all hung out.
Yeah,
we're too codependent.
Literally with Austin, like, all week long. So we hung out, did the trivia. The rest of the time was because we were trying to get through the rest of Legion. Because we've been binge watching that every time we have an opportunity to kind of get together.
Because Alex said, Austin, I want to watch all the X-Men stuff. This is Alex, unprompted.
Yep.
I was like, are you sure? You know, she was like, yes. I was like, okay, get your fucking seatbelt on. We got a wild ride ahead of us. So now the goal is to watch a bunch of shit before the Deadpool and Wolverine movie comes out.
When is that supposed to come out again? July?
July something?
Oh, I thought it was already out.
So we're on a deadline.
See, I don't know stuff.
Oh, nope.
I'll probably just watch clips on YouTube.
We're on a deadline, so Austin is, because he's such a connoisseur of X-Men, I'm like, I'm going to leave it to you to tell me, like, what we're doing, what order, like, the correct order we're supposed to watch this in. So we finally finished Legion. Wow, what a ride. Austin kept saying, like, I don't remember, and it's kind of insufferable. And yes, there were parts where that was true, but the ending was, like, unexpected.
Is that a cartoon or is it live action?
Live action.
Live action. Okay. It's not what you think.
Oh, it's not what you think.
I tell you, it's not what I think, because nothing ever is what I think when it comes to
I would say Legion was pretty horny.
Pretty horny?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that.
Well, I guess it's like the Olympics. You've got all these very fine-tuned athletes concentrated in one area, because they're all in great shape. You know what I mean? Like, they all look very good.
Yeah.
They're very fit, because they have to be.
And they're all, like, always have the adrenaline pumping.
Yeah, they're always got the adrenaline pump. They're always wearing, like, skin-tight leather.
And also, the Olympians have, like, devoted their entire lives to one thing. Yeah. From, like, that was decided from, like, an early childhood for a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are, meeting all these, like, new people from around the world. Let's get fucking.
You know, they're all juiced up on drugs, too. Like, steroids. So, I mean, the hormones are raging.
And they're like, you know, they're young. Most of them are like...
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad we dissected the reason why Olympians, like, fuck each other all the time. Great combo.
Alex, anything else?
Alex, how was the rest of your week?
God, what else? Oh, we went furniture. Austin was nice enough to drive out with me to the furniture outlets, a couple of them over the weekend, because after my horrendous experience trying to buy furniture online, I'm like, okay, you know what? The next logical step, which... That never panned out, by the way. I never actually got my stuff. So I'm like, okay, I still am in dire need of a couch. So the next logical thing was like, okay, I should probably go. Because remember when we were talking to you guys, Jacob?
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to give you that guy's name. Do you want his name?
I mean, you can give it to me later. Okay. But I think I'm pretty decided on two. I'm in between two. We went to like three furniture stores. One was a complete crazy place. Like, I don't even know.
I was so disappointed in that one. Ugh.
I don't know who the clientele was, but it was the most like gauche and gaudy stuff I've ever seen. I was like, this is not for me. Let's go.
If you've ever seen the movie Showgirls, it's like that, but as a furniture store.
Yeah.
Like,
that's no way else to describe it.
Like, these couches put you in a certain compromised position.
Like, the leopard print, everything.
Oh, really?
Like, everything was, like, weird. Fur and, like, leopard print and gold and, like, very tacky. And I'm like, who is buying this stuff? You know how when you go to, like, a shoe store and you look at some of these crazy shoes and you're like, who is actually buying these shoes and putting them on their feet?
My sister.
That's why when we were driving around, too, Austin was like, this is why estate sales are so cool, because you can go into people's houses and see how they decorate.
Mm-hmm.
Love an estate sale. I never buy anything, but I love it.
Yeah.
You have to make time to go in and see some estate sales, but we made some good progress, I think, yesterday. We found, or at least I found, two that I'm trying to decide between. So it'll probably be another weekend when I have to go back to one of these places to kind of make it happen. But it was an interesting experience shopping for furniture.
I got to tell you, Alex, we went to, like, wife and I go thrifting a lot, or like thrift stores and stuff like that. And we'll be like looking around and they'll have furniture and they'll be like, oh, you think Alex would like this couch? we're like, do you think this would be good? We should send a picture of it to her. And then I was like, I don't know if she'd buy this couch or not. But we're like, we're decorating your place for you. Because we found some like really good couches the other day.
I'm open to suggestions because it's harder than I thought. And like, I'm picky anyway when it comes to stuff. But I'm thinking like long term, you know, it's like something that's going to be in the center of your room for years. Mm-hmm. It's got to look good. It's got to be comfortable. There's a lot of factors.
I was a pain in the ass when I was furniture shopping years ago. So I was like, I don't know what I want. I just know the vibes.
Oh, my God.
I
got a vibe. The vibes. Yeah, that's what they want to hear.
I know. I was so annoying. That's when my long-running hate relationship with, like, furniture store people began. Oh,
God. I couldn't imagine trying to sell you a car.
I know. They were like, what do you want? And I was like, I have no fucking idea.
I just want the vibes.
But you know it when you know it.
I know. I was like, leave me alone. I'll figure it out.
I mean, you can have a general idea, but, like, I went into it. So, obviously, I did some shopping before, like, on the website to be like, okay, I'm going to look for this particular model of couch to see, like, you know, this looks good. But then when I got in there and actually saw the thing in person and sat on it, I'm like, actually, this is horrible. It is very much a you know it when you see it. Like, it just speaks to you somehow. Like, that's the only way to describe it.
I get this. Man, we saw a great one, this garage sale. Again, the thought was like, man, Alex might like that. But it was like, it was pretty expensive. And you'd have to haul it yourself. That's the problem with all these like thrift stores.
No.
They don't deliver. And I don't think anybody we know has a car big enough to haul a couch.
You'd have to rent a truck or something, which that's a whole other pain. Like that goes into it too. Cause I'm like, well, how practical? Like I'm going to need somebody to deliver this piece because there's no way I can do it.
You're going to get a Chase?
No, just a stationary couch, like regular old straight three cushion.
If need be, I have access to my dad's trailer that you can hitch to a car.
Oh, I forgot your dad has a trailer. Hey, look at that.
Just FYI.
Thank you for the offer.
That goes for the listeners, too. If you need a trailer hitch, just
but it
would
cost
know.
Y'all. Unless you subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah, it will.
Then you get a free tow service. I'm gonna rent it. Each subscription gets a free tow.
You have to pay for the mileage for however far it is. I have to drive to you.
Well, that's cool, Alex.
Jacob, how was your week? Alex, I assume you're done.
Yeah, that was about it.
Yeah, nothing too exciting happened this week. Still flying the drone, continuing down. I get a head shake every time I bring it up.
I'm just waiting
for
you.
I didn't do anything.
I'm waiting for you to say, like, my neighbor shot my drone down. No. Like, that's just what I'm waiting for.
No, we're cool. This thing doesn't record video. It says it does, but apparently you've got to, like, pay for it, which is weird.
Oh, fuck that.
You got to pay, like, a subscription thing for it. So I just fly it, and I'm fine with that. I don't want to see what people do in their homes. That's weird.
I do, but that's just me.
Yep. You probably go to a lot of estate sales and open homes, don't you? Open houses.
Oh, yes, I do.
See, you can go into people's homes and, like, poke into their life after they're dead, but when they're alive, I think there's some laws against that.
I think the craziest thing we ever did is we went to an open house, we were looking around, and the couple, I guess, I don't know if they realized they did this, but they left, like, explicit photos of themselves.
Whoa.
Out.
Yeah. Oh! Oh! So like a printed photo.
Yeah, so we got a little
were they good looking photos?
Were they like the people good looking?
Good?
Yeah, they're pretty good looking people.
No, oh, I meant like was it like sexy?
Oh yeah, it was you got a very good idea of what they were into with this.
What were they into? Let's hear it.
You know, like the interior of a car when it's not like upholstery, it's the other word that starts with an L.
Leather?
Yeah, yes. There's a lot of that going around there.
Oh, they were showing
off.
Wait,
I'm sorry. Were these, like, framed photographs?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Of them in
framed
compromising positions?
Yeah, yeah. They were framed.
Okay, I've seen some crazy shit in people's houses. I've never seen that.
Learned a lot. Tell you that. Didn't know you could do some of that. But anyway, I also have ventured a little further in Fire Red. I beat Surge, so that's cool.
Mm.
Congratulations.
And I felt good, because I remember the trick with the trash cans. Do you remember that?
What is the trick with the trash can? I don't remember the trash can trick.
It's the one to the right of it. Like, it changes every time, but it's always the one right next to the right. Does that make sense?
Okay. Good tip.
And I was like, man, I can't believe I remember that.
So what's your current team?
I've got a Parasect, a Pidgeot, no, Pidgeotto, and then a Charmeleon.
Oh, you only got three.
Yeah, I'm about to get a Dugtrio. Or Diglett, because they're pretty high in Diglett Cave, and I don't like spending a lot of time trying to level up my Pokemon, so I'm going to go get a Diglett or something.
You know, I'm really, like, tickled to hear you say Parasect, because I never thought too much of Paris before, but I've actually kind of really, like, started to appreciate it recently. Like, it's super cute, and I'm actually using one in my Soul Silver playthrough.
Yeah, this thing is a lifesaver for Misty's gym. It's, like, the only grass type you can catch. And I totally forgot. I thought it was like a water type. So I was like, at least I'll be able to like...
What?
It looks like a crab to me. So I was like, this is like obviously going to be a water type.
It's got a big mushroom on it.
Everything evolves into crabs.
Everything evolves into crabs. But it learned Bullet Seed. And I was like, I think that might be useful. Destroyed Misty. I mean, it just wiped her team out like it was nothing. That worked out really well.
And if it had a bug type move, it could destroy Starmie twice.
Yeah. It didn't have a bug type when I started it, though. And I actually had to teach it Bullet Seed. I had a TM.
Oh, single-use TMs. Gross.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I had to do it. It's really not learning moves, though. Like, it's just, I've leveled up, I think, 10 levels since I got it and hasn't learned one single new move. Oh, Cut. I got Cut, which is apparently super OP.
Ew, HM moves.
Well, I took on Surge. Obviously, I wasn't going to use Pidgeotto, right? Because electric, I remember that. So I had Charmeleon and then Parasect. Did Parasect use Cut and two-hit every single member of Surge's team? Like, it just wiped him out. And I was like, holy crap.
All right, I got Parasect's moves in front of me.
Give me something that I need to look forward to.
Giga Drain.
Giga Drain, yeah.
Wait, is this Gen 3? Are you looking at Gen 3?
Yeah. Slash? I don't know if that's more powerful than Cut or not.
It doesn't matter anyway, because I need Cut.
That's basically it.
It can learn, like, Vine Whip. Can it learn Vine Whip?
No.
I'm going to have to get rid of it. Nah, I'm going to keep it.
Growth, Spore, Aromatherapy. What does Aromatherapy do?
Doesn't it heal status moves or something?
It's also a tank.
Yeah, cures the user in all Pokemon in the user's party.
Oh, that's
cool. Of all status conditions.
Oh, wow. Can you use that outside of battle?
I have no idea.
No.
Wow. That's where Pokemon differs from other RPGs. Like, you play Final Fantasy, you can use, like, the heal, you know, within the party.
Oh, I'm very familiar with that cure.
Yeah.
Curaga.
You can also cheat the very first Final Fantasy, if you guys ever want to do that. That's pretty fun.
Cheat it?
Yeah. You have a team of ninjas, and let one die.
Mm-hmm.
And then the three level ups, because they level up faster than any other party member or other class, they level up so fast that you can literally steamroll anybody in the game.
With just three of them.
But, yeah, that's pretty much my week. No bar trivia for me.
You were invited.
Yeah, I was. I don't really care about Marvel trivia.
Oh my gosh, it's not about the trivia, it's about the friends.
Yeah, that's true. It would have been fun. You guys would have had fun me coming up with, like, April flowers and stupid stuff like that. I just wrote random stuff down. But I don't know how to transition to the Pokemon episodes this week.
I don't know. Let's swim away from this topic. Let's just dive on into the water and swim to an island.
We're not experiencing a drought here. In fact, there's plenty of water. This episode made no sense to me. Maybe, I don't know. It's supposed to be like a, God, what's the thing that the Scots have? The thing that lives in the lake? The Loch Ness Monster?
Nessie?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
That thing that the Scots have, the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, that lives in the lake. The randomizer has spoken this week. Alex, you are summarizing. Austin, you get the Loch Ness Monster episode, and then I get the Kecleon Caper.
Sorry, I wasn't even listening. What do I get?
I guess you have to find out after Alex summarizes. No, you get the Rhydon.
Oh, okay.
You get Rhydon. You get the Loch Ness Monster.
The summaries. Ugh.
That's the easiest part.
Is it?
Get ready, Alex.
Not for me that other week.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, Pikachu, Togepi, they're horsing around by a lake when Pikachu spots, like, a narwhal popping up out of it. Actually, no, it's just a Rhydon, which is weird enough. Ash is insistent he saw one. Turns out it's a Rhydon that likes to surf. This girl comes up and she's like, I need to catch it to break through a tunnel because that's totally safe. They get into some wacky shenanigans where they try to, like, take it down, and, like, it almost drowns this girl, but she ends up catching it after the second Pokeball, and she breaks through the tunnel, and the day is saved so they can do their shopping.
Can Rhydon learn surf?
That's what I'm trying to Google right now.
Because I remember there was a really weird use of surf in, like, Red and Blue. About how, like, certain Pokemon, like, you know, Charizard can't learn fly, even though it's got wings.
Right.
So
right.
Weird.
Yeah. There's, like, weird parameters around who can learn surf. Because I feel like they would make this episode because of that.
When I Googled Rhydon surf, it just brings up this episode.
Oh. Can Rhydon learn the HM?
It can learn surf by TM.
Oh.
Apparently.
Yeah, it can learn surf. That's what I'm finding.
Okay, interesting. All right, so here we are in this very interesting episode where, very interestingly, Pikachu and Togepi spot a little horn sticking out of the water, and they're like, what's that? Yeah, they're like, look, it's the Loch Ness Monster, that thing the Scots have. And they call over Ash, and he sees it too. So the next day, he's trying to convince Misty and Brock, there's a surfing ride on here. And Misty and Brock say, Ash, that's impossible. It doesn't have access to a hidden machine in the wild. And Ash says, but Brock, you know everything about rock Pokemon. You should know what moves Rhydon can learn. And Brock says, no, I was a terrible gym leader, and I am incompetent in every way.
I'm going to add some insight to this. So Rhyhorn's obviously like a rhino Pokemon. Yes. I'll throw that out there. And apparently rhinos are some of the best swimmers on Earth.
Oh.
I guess they got that from that. It says, like, Asian rhinos are excellent swimmers, crossing rivers and oceans with ease.
Oceans?
Whoa.
I'm sorry, what?
Maybe not the entire ocean.
No, it says from the Atlantic to the Pacific, so we'll see. That's how they got here.
Could you imagine?
That's how they got here.
Like, could you imagine getting chased by a rhinoceros and then you're like, oh my God. And you jump into the ocean, swim across it, and you're like, okay, I'm safe. And then here this fucking thing comes from an ocean away.
It's like two animals scare me with that. Killer bees, because killer bees, like, you know, when you jump in the water, other bees give up.
Oh, they'll wait for you.
Killer bees wait for you.
They'll wait.
And if you see a hippo in the water and you get in the water, you're dead. Like, you're dead. That's it. It's over. They will purposely kill you. And not in a fun way either. Like, you're going to drown. God.
Hippos are terrifying.
Yeah, don't get in the water with a hippo.
This is gonna sound incredibly fucking stupid. Rhinos are one of those animals that I forget exist, and like when I actually see one, like a picture of one, I'm like, oh yeah, nature's wild. Look at that fucking thing.
Nature's wild.
It looks like it shouldn't be real. Is that dumb? That's a big old horn.
No, I look in the mirror every day and think that. So yeah.
I think the weirdest thing is, like, if we have animals that have horns, like rhinoceroses and narwhals and stuff, it's like, why can't we have unicorns for real? Like, is it that far-fetched to be, like, a horse with a horn on it? Like,
I don't understand the appeal of unicorns. Like, it seems like it could really exist. That's a crazy thing.
Okay, Voldemort.
Yeah.
Unicorn hater.
I think it's the mysticism behind unicorn that makes it unbelievable.
If you drink unicorn blood, you'll live forever.
And it shoots rainbows out of its butt.
Oh my God, you guys, do you remember that Adult Swim game?
Always,
like the Endless Runner.
I will believe in you.
Yeah, the robot unicorn attack or whatever.
Yeah, something
called.
Like that.
What was it called?
I think it might have been Robot Unicorn Attack. I think it was that.
Once again, I learned something new about the internet.
Yeah.
Wait, Jacob, you didn't know that?
I never heard of this before in my life.
Oh, it was addicting.
Oh my God. It was Robot Unicorn Attack.
Yes.
This was 2010, so... I can't believe, Jacob, of all the people on this podcast, I would have for sure thought you would have been, like, all into those Adult Swim web games.
No. No. The shows on Adult Swim are good. But no, I never played an Adult Swim game.
What's that other one? There was, like, a surgeon game, Austin.
That one I'm not familiar with immediately.
Surgeon Simulator?
Surgeon.
Sorry, I'm still looking at pictures of rhinos, and I can't fucking believe these things actually, like, exist in the world.
Do they really kill with the horn? Or what's the point of the horn? Is it defense?
Will a rhino kill you with a horn?
Oh, it's amateur surgeon. Sorry, just had to put that out there.
Oh, I do remember. That sounds familiar now.
God, when we're done with this podcast, I'm going to see if I can find those games. But, oh dang, probably not, because it probably requires JavaScript to play, and we all know that JavaScript, like, died, so.
Maybe you can stream it.
Maybe.
This says that rhino horns can pierce the body of a car. They've killed hippopotamuses.
Oh, whoa. Good for them. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, hippos.
You don't want to fuck with a rhino.
This is an anti-hippo podcast.
Who's the better swimmer? Rhino.
Okay. So rhinos are real, and so are Rhydon, and so are surfing Rhydons. And here comes up a random girl named Pietra, and she's like, you damn bet that surfing Rhydon is real. I'm chasing after it. And she has a Meryl that has a pierced ear.
That's interesting.
Can Meryls consent to having ear piercings?
I mean, Pokemon can think in coherent thoughts, so probably.
Its name is like Thad, so of course it has a pierced ear. That just seems Thad. Like a name. Yeah.
I don't know much about Thads and their ear piercings.
They all have pierced ears. It's like a requirement.
So Pietra and Thad, the Meryl, take us to a hole in the ground that she has created. Because she says that she has a sickly grandmother who has to go to and from the town. But it's so hard for her to trek over the mountains, I guess. So Pietro's like, You know what? I'm just going to build a tunnel through the mountainside just by myself.
No permits.
She's having difficulties because her Dugtrio, Sand Slash, and Graveler can't get through a particular layer of rock. And also, there's a trickle of water coming down from the ceiling of this tunnel she created.
That's great.
And that's just a problem because they're rock types. Not because of the fact that she has drilled into an underground water source and it's going to flood this fucking tunnel she created. And that's why we don't just willy-nilly create tunnels and mountains without any sort of preparation.
They do that, though. Remember that other episode where they just drilled through a mountain?
Yes, I do. And Officer Ginny congratulated them on that.
Yeah, it's just there's no structural engineers. They just like, if it collapses, then you know it's not okay.
The people of Johto just do whatever the hell they want, don't they?
It's a very, I'll say very libertarian society. Just no
Law. That explains a lot. If
it is.
What are so fucked up?
We just figured it out. I'll keep you that. We just figured it out.
Alex?
My question to completely shift away from that. What do we feel about rock Pokemon being afraid of, like, natural water?
I mean, I too, if I was in that tunnel and water started dripping from the top, I'd be like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Goodbye.
I used to think as a kid, they were all rabid. And that's why they look so mean. Because they hate water. And that made me...
They have the rabies.
Yeah, it made me think that.
Do they not, like, drink water? Like, how do they survive? Like, what...
Well, it makes...
What's the logic?
It makes sense that, like, rocks hate water. I mean, that's the only thing that kills them in the real world.
Kills them?
Kills them.
The wind.
This kills the rock.
Yeah, well, the wind doesn't do as much. But, like, water kills rocks.
It smooths them out until they go away to nothing.
Yeah, rocks hate water. So, I get it. It makes a lot of sense.
All of this to say is that we need a ground type that's not afraid of water. And apparently not afraid of drowning, either. Unlike Onyx, because Brock volunteers Onyx to dig through the hole... And Onyx causes a huge split in the foundation of the tunnel, and like a burst of water comes piping out at him, and he slithers away, screaming.
I felt so bad for Onyx. Brock was like, I trained it specifically to be not afraid.
Did he say that? Well, he's fucking lying.
Yeah. But we forgot that it got terrorized by sprinklers that one time.
Iconic. If it's not building a staircase, Onyx is not of any use to anyone.
Poor
thing. He can build a staircase, but not a tunnel.
He tries.
So now we got to go find this Rhydon, because, you know, what do animals exist other than to serve us? Which I guess this is actually a pretty traditional Pokemon plot. Like, I want to catch a Pokemon. Let's go catch it.
I mean, that's how you play the games.
Exactly.
I feel like N would have something to say about this.
Oh, I bet he would. So we go following some Rhydon tracks, but it turns out the Rhydon always goes back to the water, so that's not very useful. The Rhydon also loves apples. And so does Team Rocket, because Team Rocket are also looking for the Rhydon, and they find Wobbuffet eating some apples. So then they're like, we're just going to eat all these apples, which seems to be a recurring theme with them, but whatever.
Well, they're always starving, so...
So then Rhydon comes in the scene and is like, how dare you eat apples in front of me, the mighty Rhydon, and blast them off. Then the Rhydon goes into the water, and the Twerps have found it. So we send all of our water types, including, like, Goldeen, to go swim after it.
Rare appearance.
It's about time.
It's of no use to anyone, because Rhydon can create a whirlpool in the water and sends all the water types spitting out of the water.
I just remember when Misty threw out Goldeen to make it suffer for, like, 30 seconds and then just recalled it.
Yes, episode 2.
Yeah, she's like, I was just showing you what I could do. Just throws it out there to... make it not breathe for 30 seconds, and then just calls it back.
God, it's amazing how far we've come, and yet how little we've gone.
I know, right?
Can we talk about the biology of Rhydon's horn, and how it fucking works?
It has some strong muscles in its head that are allowed to do that, I guess.
To spin, like a drill bit?
Yeah.
It's gross when you think about how deep the other end is in his head. You know what I'm... Does that paint a picture for you?
Yeah. I got. I'm imagining like the motor situation going on in his brain.
Something's
like,
got to be protruding inside its head for it to spin like that. Unless the skin is moving it around, that wrapped around it on its head. Something's in its body making it twirl.
Like there's some sort of muscle that's able to spin like that, right?
Yeah.
Mechanism. don't think too hard about it.
Let's not question Rhydon having a spinning drill when, like, other Pokemon can, like, shoot ice and fire at you.
Okay, true.
So, all of the water types are useless. Rhydon gets away. But then Pietra says... No, sorry. Team Rocket attacks a second time. I didn't pay attention to this at all. Did y'all?
No.
Okay.
All I noted was that Crobat popped the balloon. So, a nice Crobat little appearance there.
I lost really focus when it was in the water and it drilled a whirlpool in the water.
Yeah, it was like the episode's over after that point. That was the highlight for me.
Yeah, that was weird and I don't know. I was like, too, that really caught me and I was like really trying to focus on the sun. I shouldn't have been. But I was like, how fast would it have to be spinning to cause that kind of, like, whirlpool deeper in the water? Like, what velocity is this thing? Like, how fast would it have to be to cause that? And it was, I don't know, it was very, very fast. It was, like, as fast as the Earth rotates.
Christ almighty.
Do we have a whirlpoolologist that can, like, weigh in?
Yeah, someone Google, can a rhino create a whirlpool?
Probably if it, like, pierced a hippo and spun it around the water.
So, what happens next is, after Team Rocket is blasted off, Pietra is like, I'm gonna get this damn Rhydon. So she grabs onto it as it goes underwater and she's like, I'm not letting go, Rhydon. You're gonna have me on you like a tick because I'm not gonna let you go. You're mine. You're mine, Rhydon. So it comes ashore and she finally faints from exertion, exhaustion.
Rhydon was like, he did not give a shit. He was like, okay, if you wanna like drown yourself, be my guest.
Get the fuck off me. And I guess her sheer commitment to holding on to a rhinoceros inspires that rhinoceros. So when she begs it, she literally begs it for a battle, Rhydon consents to that. And it is Meryl versus Rhydon, and the twerps are on the sidelines cheering, and Meryl versus Rhydon lasts quite some time, because Meryl keeps on using water attacks on its spinning horn, which, as we know, that spinning horn can move as fast as the rotation of the Earth, so that's not very effective.
I love how she's like, use water gun, and then the twerps are like, Pietra, it's not afraid of water, quick, try another water attack. And it's like, okay, use bubble beam instead. Like, what the...
Yeah, we used water gun and bubble beam for about 10 minutes, it felt like, and then finally she's like, oh, wait a second, I have an idea, Meryl, use iron tail. And was it just me, or was this really fucking cool?
This was really fucking cool. I actually put Iron Tail is actually super cool, question mark.
Yeah, I'm so used to Iron Tail. Like, it's so iconic at this point, Iron Tail with Pikachu, that when Meryl used Iron Tail to turn its little ball into, like, a wrecking ball, and then use its little, tail spring-loaded thing as, like, what would you call that? It was spinning it around.
It's like a flail.
Like a flail.
He like used it as a flail and like was spinning it around and then like smacked Rhydon in the face.
It was neat.
And it was awesome.
I like that. And it was super effective.
Yeah.
Rhydon is down and out eventually. It pops out a Pokeball once, but then it gets caught the second time to throw a Pokeball. And now they immediately put Rhydon to work because they take it to the tunnel and they say, Rhydon, don't care if you get drowned by this water and this unstable tunnel structure I've created with permission from absolutely no one. Just go ahead and finish it. So Rhydon completes the tunnel and Johto libertarianism is safe for another day.
Yeah.
The end.
Freedom.
Wait, so can we go back real quick? I have one quick question.
Yeah, sorry. I got really sped through that one.
No, that's okay. I wanted to ask, did she explain? I know she said something about her like grandmother not being able to get to town, but was it because she was sick or because she wanted to go shopping? I couldn't remember.
Oh, I don't care about Pietra and her grandmother, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I would assume it's shopping. Let's make it a lighter note instead of her being like sick and wanting to see the other side of the mountain before she dies.
Destroying the environment for personal gain.
Sadly, what happened after this episode was Pietra's grandmother took this tunnel, and then there was a seismic shift that caused all of the water fall from every surface in the tunnel, and she was found drowned, and then the mountain collapsed on top of her. So she was actually never found.
Oh, okay. So they named the mountain after her?
Mm-hmm. Pietra's grandmother's mountain.
Pietra's grandma's mountain. Yep.
What if the mountain, like, structurally unstable now, like, ended up having, like, a landslide right onto this town?
Pietra killed thousands, and the twerps are complicit.
Complicit.
Just to go shopping to get a couch. Can you believe that?
Dang. The audacity of some people.
Austin was there with a trailer to help.
She never showed up. He waited days and she never showed up. I love that the twerps always just double down with like something that doesn't work. It's like, try water moves. More water moves.
Their whole plan was just like, just be persistent. Like, this thing clearly has zero autonomy to them. They're like, if I just physically accost you, hang off of you, and, like, wheedle you down enough to, like, accept my offer, and then I can, like, catch you and subjugate you and make you into, like, my workhorse. Like, totally cool.
It is kind of weird to think that this is what the franchise is predicated on. Not, like, annual festivals, but this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Catching Pokemon.
And you putting them to work. I guess that's what made Black and White so cool, was like they finally addressed it, and it didn't make sense, but at least they talked about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it was a weird premise.
They didn't lean into the premise hard enough. Nah. I'm like, if you're going to touch on that as like subject matter for a game, like you got to commit to the story. But they kind of danced around it.
Y'all, we have talked about this like 300 times.
Okay.
I know, okay. But it comes up. It comes up all the time.
We talk about it just as much as we talk about Water is Wet. And the randomizer has spoken. Austin, you're first, followed by Alex and then me for our most valuable player, our least valuable player, and a quote.
I'm going to give Pietra's Meryl MVP for that Iron Tail move.
Thad.
That was kind of cool.
Whoa, badass.
Go Thad.
Yeah, Thad. Sorry, I forgot about Thad. Is it 1D or 2Ds?
It's actually 3.
Whoa.
You're not actually carrying it out. Yeah. This has got a pierced ear, so it's Thad. Thad.
Is it short for Thaddeus?
No, it's Thadador.
Thadador? Oh, okay.
LVP will go to Onyx.
Oh, no.
For not having special training to resist water. And my quote, this is kind of silly, but Ash, when they see Team Rocket, he says, Team Rocket, what are you losers doing here? And I was like, God, he's getting really aggro these days. I know it was lip flaps, but that was still a little bit much.
He's not pulling any punches, is he?
Okay, is it me? All right. My MVP is going to be the Wobbuffet Life Raft.
Oh, that's cute.
Because when Crobat, like Austin mentioned earlier, Crobat cuts the balloon, they crash into the water, but immediately are rescued by their automatically deploying Wobbuffet rubber life raft that we've never seen before. And it was super cute. My LVP is going to be Pietra for generally being
a menace to society.
A menace. Yeah, a menace for creating this tunnel with zero permits and no input from an engineer, all because her grandmother is selfishly wanting to go shopping in some town, and then she won't take no for an answer when the animal that she's trying to, like, capture and make work for her is like, no, leave me alone to eat my apples. And she just will not find another solution, so she's just not a good person. Yes, Austin?
Is it me, or have they given up on giving the one-episode characters, like, any distinguishing traits?
No, they're pretty one-dimensional.
I miss, like, the Duplicas and the AJs of the world. These are boring-ass people.
Well, they can't all be AJs and Duplicas, I guess. And my quote is going to be... I'm going to go with, again, back to the Wobbuffet rubber life raft section. Jesse says, luckily, we brought our Wobbuffet rubber life raft. And James says, those twerps must think we're as stupid as we look.
Dude, James bringing it this season, right?
James brings it every season, at least while Four Kids is still with us.
Yeah, as long as Eric Stewart's doing it, he brings it. All right, my turn. I almost skipped over it. I'll give my MVP to Goldeen for just seeing it. I'm happy to... And seeing it swim. Like, it's still able to do that, being locked up for years inside that Pokeball. I'll give my LVP to the townspeople who eventually get their homes flooded away by the drilling of this mountain. That sucks. Having your house float away on you. It's probably not fun. They don't probably have any Wobbuffet lifeboats either. And then my quote goes to Team Rocket. And this is kind of stupid. It's like when they first find them in the woods and they're like, these losers are here. And they're like stuffing their mouths. And they're like, and they're giving the chant. And you can slyly make it out with their mouth stuffed. I thought that was pretty funny. They just kind of go like, they sound like...
Wait, could you actually hear what they were saying? I thought it was like incomprehensible.
Some of it was more clear than others.
Yeah, okay. If you speak Team Rocket, you got it.
Clearly, I'm not fluent.
Okay, I think that...
That's one more. That's one episode down.
Yeah, let's make that episode disappear and get on to the next one. Get it? Because Kecleon is a chameleon.
Oh, and I get it. Thanks for...
Okay, there you go. Now we're talking.
I didn't get it.
Okay, yep, it's very dense joke.
Karma, chameleon.
I was thinking about naming the episode Kecleon.
Wait, what is that a reference to?
That song she was just singing, Alex was singing.
Karma, chameleon.
You come and go. Ooh, it works really well. Loving would be easy if the colors were like my dreams. Red, gold, and green.
Oh, is it green? Oh.
Red, whoops. Gold, and green.
You know what I mean.
I'm really out of practice with that song.
It's a karaoke classic. Even if
have
I can't
you ever
sing
actually
shit.
Sung it in karaoke?
What?
Have you ever actually sung it in karaoke?
Fuck yeah, I have.
I propose that Alex Dang. Sing the 30-second summary instead of talking
Ooh.
It.
I'm not.
to the tune of Karma Chameleon.
Yeah, all right, come
Nobody
on
Nobody wants to hear that.
Yes,
oh
we do.
God, no.
Bring it out.
Yeah, we do.
Flex,
I do.
Flex the golden pipes. Alex, come on. I see you smiling.
Oh.
Let's go.
All right, get ready. Yikes. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Back on the road to Olivine City. The twerps see a blimp. And some guys like that, the Leviathan. And then they go inside and see some girls with some Kecleons. And some shit happens. And they chase them around for way too long because they steal some jewelry. And then Team Rocket's like, we gotta bring these to Giovanni. And then, I'm gonna stop now. <That's> Kecleons end up giving the jewelry box and some first aid kit back to some guy.
Time.
And that's the end.
That was great.
That was my favorite one yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing I could say about this episode because it's literally like 17 straight minutes of them chasing them around.
I don't know. I guess I'm trying to like shorten the notes up a little bit for the episode because the details are sometimes minute.
Who cares about the details?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just trying to give a general summary.
I don't know about you guys, but I think this may be my least second favorite after current events.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I think I liked this episode a lot more than you guys did.
No, I didn't say it was a bad episode. I just...
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. I liked it a lot more than current events, I'll say that much.
Oh no, am I like the outlier this time? And I'm usually like the one who's like, we gotta be positive
okay,
about it.
I can kind of see what you mean though, because current events was a lot of running around doing nothing,
yeah.
And this also was a lot of running around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, let's just run around until the episode's over.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Like, the whole episode is like a Scooby-Doo chase scene. You know, like, they last, like, a minute in Scooby-Doo, but this is, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, but Scooby-Doo chase scenes are fun, because, like, they have, like, visual gags and, like, 60s music is playing.
Oh, I, that's what I'm saying. I love the Scooby-Doo chase scenes. They're fun. But, they, like I said, they last, like, a minute or two tops. This is literally 15 minutes of boring chase scenes.
They said Kecleon can turn invisible. We're going to make an episode about it, you guys.
Speaking of Scooby-Doo, Austin, Austin sent me a snap last night of, I guess you were watching, what, Velma?
Yes, I'm watching Velma season 2 because I am human garbage.
But they referenced the Hex Girls, and we all know that we love some Hex Girls on this podcast.
Are they in
so
it?
Love that.
What, a new character is introduced, and it's the child of one of the Hex Girls.
Oh
my gosh.
So they don't have the brunette one in it? The singer?
I think it's her, the main one,
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
It's her.
Jacob loves the Hex Girls, too.
Is she your favorite? Leader?
Yeah.
Thorn? Is her name Thorn?
I don't know. She's a rose, though.
Okay. All right. I remember the blonde one with the pigtails. Very Harley Quinn-y.
Yeah, she reminded me of Harley Quinn. Then you had the drummer.
Which one was the drummer?
Doesn't she have red hair or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at pictures. Welcome to a Hex Girls podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Why have they never gotten their own movie or spinoff or anything? I don't understand.
I thought they were better than the Pussycat Dolls.
They're way after the Pussycat Dolls.
No, but remember they had their show around the same time, though.
Oh, well, no, Pussycat Dolls was like 70s. Or sorry, not Pussycat Dolls. Josie and the Pussycats.
Hmm. Yeah.
Pussycat Dolls was an actual girl band in real life.
Am I thinking of the wrong thing? I'm probably thinking of the wrong thing.
Josie and the Pussycats, they had like, they were wearing like little cheetah outfits.
What about Jem and the Holograms?
That was 80s.
Oh. Anyway, that was a good little reference, and since we were talking about Scooby-Doo, I was like, oh, yeah.
I'm seeing other renditions of them, and nothing beats the original.
Who, the Hex Girls?
Yeah.
God, can we do a Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost podcast?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about it. Maybe. That might be a good Halloween episode.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, I forgot there was a live-action Josie and the Pussycats movie.
All right, so there's a blimp in this episode. I think this is what happened here, because Kecleon... What generation is that? That's not this one. This is like Diamond and Pearl, right?
This is Gen 3, Hoenn.
Ruby and Sapphire.
Ruby and Sapphire. Okay. And so they're from another region, but I guess we're to assume that the blimp called the Leviathan 2 carried them here from that region?
Probably, I guess. That's okay. Why they're just not randomly in Johto. They have to come from a different place.
Mm-hmm.
They say they're this is a maiden voyage of the circumnavigation trip that they're on of the globe.
So, yeah, I guess they came from there. That's their starting point.
They started in Hoenn, came to Johto. Where are they going next? Kanto.
But you have to have some money to be on this thing. It's very, like, high class.
It was nicer than any cruise I've ever seen.
This is, like, you know what it immediately reminded me of? It was, like, first class of the Titanic. Like, super luxury for the time. Like, old money type of, like, people who are on this blimp.
Yeah, they all got gloves on. That's how you know they're rich. Because they won't touch anything with their bare hands. The ladies who have their main characters, I guess, that are wearing the gloves are Madison and Alexa. And they got their...
I kept on thinking their names were Ashley and Madison.
Oh my god,
I kept on thinking that.
All right, and they have some Keckley on.
Jacob was in a real hurry to get past that one. Okay.
Anything you want to share with the group there, Jacob?
Is that the Affair website?
Yes.
Okay. Why do I know that one? That was like... Who got caught doing that?
I think, like, political pundit people.
Like, everybody? Like, all the rich
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Guys.
That was the leak, right? Where they had all their names on the website? Yeah, okay. That's where I know that from. Okay. Because I remember that being a... What year was that? Was that, like, 08 or something?
That was relatively recently.
Oh, see, I'm remembering different things. I thought it was, like, 2008 or something. 2012.
I mean, it wasn't super recent. I would say probably, like...
2015.
Oh, okay. Dang, that feels like a long time ago. Anyway, Madison and Alexa, they have their Keckley on... And their names are Greeny and Reddy.
Completely inspired, those names.
And it's really hard to tell because the Greeny is actually red and Reddy is actually green.
That's not true.
That's not true. No, I'm kidding. That's not true.
I thought Reddy was fucking purple. Am I wrong?
It was purple. It was like a lilac color.
Thank you.
No, see, I saw red.
Is that a shiny one?
No, that's what's crazy. It is purple.
Is it blue?
The shiny Kecleon is not purple or red or violet or lilac or anything. Isn't it a regular Kecleon with a blue stripe?
Yes. So this one is, like, actually really interesting, then. It's completely a variation of what it's actually supposed to be.
It's like the pink Butterfree. It's just, like, it's wrong.
I have a question. Do you think... Okay, so I don't know when this came out relative to, like, their planning of Hoenn, but do you think this was the original shiny color palette and then they changed it later?
I mean, that had to have been the plan, right? And, like, there was some sort of miscommunication.
Possibly. I mean...
They're probably all going to be different colors, maybe, originally. But they were, like, based on where you find them, they'll be the color of whatever area you're in.
But this got referenced later in an unexpected place. Do you guys know where?
No.
Stadium?
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Oh, really?
Oh.
The Kecleon shopkeepers, one of them looks like the Kecleon from this episode.
Interesting, okay.
I don't know, someone wanted to use that design again.
There has to be some kind of behind-the-scenes something or other that happened.
So Reddy ate Alexa and then took her mind and became sentient.
And learned to talk. And opened a shop.
Oh my god.
Yep.
After Alexa painted it red, he got mad and ate her. It's Alexa's blood!
You said that, painted, and then I immediately thought, you know how some of those, like, I guess you don't have to be wealthy, but I guess it's more of a trope with, like, the wealthier group. You know how people dye their dogs, like, different colors?
Oh, yes.
Do you think that maybe this girl, like, just dyed her Kecleon a designer color?
I mean, she could have, and then named it Reddy, even though it came out as purple on accident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the reason.
I will say that, Jacob, were you trying to talk about, like, Kecleon's, like, innate ability? Because the ability is called color change.
Yes.
Is that what you were going for?
Yeah, because I thought they changed colors.
I mean, they turn invisible, but you're thinking at one point maybe they would have, like, it's yellow today, it's purple today.
Or, like, a day and night thing. You know what I mean? Like, maybe during the daytime.
Or, like, where you are, like, if you're in a snowy area, it's
yeah,
white.
Like, in black and white, if they were done seasons, like, maybe you catch a white one during the snow, or, like, in the fall, like, it's, like, orange on top, yellow on bottom, kind of like the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
The summer, it's yellow.
Like, deerling is seasons.
Yeah, like, it hides to be for predators. Obviously, and that's what, like, I guess chameleons do. So, that had just been a unique mechanic. It would have made it more fun, like an actual fun Pokemon.
Yeah, what do we think of Kecleon? It's not a favorite of mine.
It's kind of plain.
Yeah,
it's not the worst, but it's pretty boring.
I didn't know about it until this episode. Let's put it that way. I could be honest.
I don't know. I mean, I would say, like, certain Pokemon are fine as is. Like, maybe not all of them need an evolution, but I think it would benefit from having some sort of something.
An evolution or something?
An evolution or a mega or something. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a little lightheaded here.
What's wrong?
I don't know. I think I might suffer from air sickness. Kind of like these two do.
Oh, no.
Which is why we stopped the blimp, right? Is that why we stopped it?
No, I think they just stopped at port to refuel and stock up on supplies. Oh. And then they just happened to have two passengers with air sickness.
We cannot discuss the logistics of blimp travel. We're not doing that again.
That's right. We try to break
I'm
it just down.
Gonna, I'm drawing a line okay. in the sand. That's not going
to
happen.
I'm not trying to say. I'm not trying to discuss the physics of it. I'm trying to say why they stopped.
They stopped because they just stopped for regular reasons.
No, the slots ran out of money, and so they had to redo the money. They had to get more money.
We have to steal from the libertarians of Johto.
That's right. The rich people live in the air because the ground's too poor. That's what we're going for. Okay, yeah, so they have air sickness. And I don't get how that, I don't know, forgot how that plays into the plot, but they've got it. Team Rocket's here. So we're in port. Team Rocket's here. They see the blimp. They're intrigued by it as well. Their main thing is they see the rich, which this is kind of weird because James is already rich. Anytime James tries to steal from rich people, I'm like, why don't you just go back home? steal from your parents. But anyway, he sees a jewelry box and it has something called like the Diamond of the Sea. Or Diamond of the Air. I guess that's what she would call it. Is that what she calls it?
It's the Blue Heart of the Ocean.
Blue Heart of the Ocean. Okay, this is the Fart of the Air, I guess, or something we'll call it.
The Fart of the Air.
God.
So they take it, but as soon as they take it, the Kecleons, Reddy and Greeny, snatch it back. Because I guess that this is their owner's jewelry box.
I got confused on that. Because this was Ashley and Madison's jewelry box. But they also take another jewelry box, right?
Yeah, that's where I was.
No.
Okay, maybe not.
So, yeah, they're in Alexa and Madison's room. They got sent back there because they feel better. And they're like, okay, go and like hang out in the room or whatever and we'll be along. I don't know why they eat the jewelry box. I guess because they see Team Rocket like breaking in and they're trying to hide it from them. But when they escape, they have Alexa and Madison's jewelry box. But then they also break into some other guy's room and steal his first aid kit.
The Kecleon.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why they take the first aid kit. Maybe to like confuse Team Rocket. I really don't know. That part was kind of a
mystery.
That's what
I didn't understand. I thought maybe because they were like help them off screen. They're taking like air sickness medicine. From the jewelry box or something?
Can we talk about the air sickness medicine?
Yes.
They land the blimp, and a guy comes out and is like, is anyone in the crowd a Pokemon doctor? And the twerps walk up and they're like, we're not Pokemon doctors, but we are the twerps.
We play one on this blimp.
Yes. So Brock finds the Kecleons and he's like, don't worry, I have air sickness pills on my person at all times. Why is that not on the blimp already? The blimp has a maul on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think they don't have, like, a little, like, emergency area, like a little doctor area?
I guess that was in the first aid kit. I don't know.
Every time I've done, like, some tour, like, where you go on a boat, like, whale watching or something like that, they give you the motion sickness pill or the seasickness pill. They have them all on the boat. It doesn't make sense that they don't have any. Unless they're too rich for it. I'm too rich for this filth. I don't need the scum's medicine.
Like, honestly, it seems like these crew people are pretty incompetent anyway, because not to, like, jump in here too much, but when he runs up, like, he basically walks into the room when Team Rocket is, like, burglaring the room, and he's like, something seems wrong here, and Meowth is like, we're stealing stuff, and he's like, oh, okay, go about your business, basically. Like, he doesn't really do much, and then when he goes back out to be like, hey, there was some random people in your room, he says that they just stole a first aid kit. He doesn't mention that they're actually, like, there were burglars in your room trying to steal your jewelry.
Well, they have so much jewelry, though. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's like so much they can't tell.
That guy's high as a kite.
He's huffing the gas that powers the blimp.
He's just like, oh yeah, Kecleon got loose and has your jewelry box in its mouth, but like, don't worry about these people that were actually like breaking in or anything.
Everything comes to a screeching halt. Your Kecleon have taken your jewelry.
Yeah.
Everything has to stop.
Very weird.
But it doesn't stop. In fact, this is like when things pick up. Like I said, I didn't take a lot of details, but basically this is like the wild goose chase again. Team Rocket's chasing the Kecleon, the twerps, along with Alexa and Madison, not Ashley Madison. Join in. Both parties are trying to capture the Kecleon. And this is when we kind of see Kecleon do like its mischief stuff where it like turns invisible, if I remember correctly, but its stripe still remains. Is that sort of the...
Yeah.
That's the Kecleon lore.
Yeah. I wonder why the stripe remains. I don't get that. But like I said, it's just like a wild goose chase. The Kecleon keep evading Team Rocket. The twerps keep missing the Kecleon because of Team Rocket. And we just kind of go back and forth with that. Kind of boring. I think that's why, Alex, is that why you didn't like this episode?
Yeah, I mean, there's just not a whole lot to say beyond the fact that it's like, they're kind of little mischief makers. Because I think at one point, one of the girls says, the last time they got all silly and, you know, went off to hide from us, the cops couldn't find them for like a week and a half.
Well, that's Officer Jenny for you.
Yeah, well, that's true. Who was really the incompetent ones? The cops or the Kecleons? I don't know.
I mean, you can see the stripe walking around. It's not that hard.
No. So maybe this was just a Officer Jenny faux pas, but I guess these Kecleon have a history of causing mischief and running off and playing hide and seek for extended periods of time, but they don't have a week. They only have 2 hours before the blimp has to leave, so it's just a bunch of chase stuff, and I'm like, okay, there's not really much to, like, really discuss.
Like, Austin was talking about, we used to get, like, more deep into the characters. Like, it'd be cool, like, if Madison and Alexa had, like, some backstory where they, like, you know, their family was rich and the Kecleon were passed down to generation, or, you know, make anything up.
Like, they would be funny.
Yeah.
Like, they would have characteristics that were, like, unique to, well, not, like, unique, but you know what I mean? Like, they would, like, this would be the girl who is really amused by the Kecleon, and this is the girl who's, like, God, these Kecleon are always causing trouble. Like, something like that, you know? They wouldn't just be standing there doing nothing.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is we don't really... Like, I think the twerps have a throwaway line early on when they're like, have you ever seen a Pokemon like that? And they're like, no. But then they don't ask Madison or Alexa, like, what is those Pokemon? Like, I don't even think... Does Ash even pull out Dexter? I can't remember.
He does not. No, it's like, the only thing you get from about the Kecleon is from Madison and Alexa.
So maybe they just didn't know enough about the Pokemon yet. Like, they had a design and that was it. Because they don't go into it. We don't get any story about it. We don't get any exposition or Dextering of it all. Like, we get nothing. Maybe that was part of the reason why this episode was a little underwhelming for me. Is because we don't, like you said, we don't get any backstory or any kind of fun anything.
It seems like a mess up. This wasn't supposed to be here. If that makes, because it's a generation off.
Yeah.
Because this happens, but then you don't hear anything ever about the Kecleon again.
Why? Like,
was there a mess
did
up?
They have...
Yeah, was there a mess up? Go ahead.
I know the answer.
Oh, is it the movie?
It's the movie.
It's the movie. I remember you saying that.
Oh.
That's right.
Y'all, the movie is our next podcast.
Oh.
This is the last episode to air in Japan before the movie came out. And the movie includes a Pikachu short about Pokemon hide and seek, which introduces some Gen 3 Pokemon. Including a Kecleon.
Okay.
That's what this episode is doing. It's promoting the movie and the movie short.
So was there, I'm assuming in Japan at least, potentially, was there like, there must have been a lot of marketing and promo appearances of Kecleon prior to this. Like,
yeah, like, look, it's a brand new Pokemon.
Yeah, it had to
That's
be.
That's exciting at the time, yeah. You know?
Well, of course, at the time.
We're just not with the times on this. I guess, right. Yeah, no.
This is the confirmation of Generation 3 is coming.
Oh, so that is big. So it's going to continue. Okay,
yes.
So I get it now.
We're going to go past Gold and Silver. Yeah. Which, like, duh, but still.
I mean, you guys remember the feeling of, like, the new generations being announced and all the promo leading up to it. I mean, at the time, for sure, it's super exciting. I think us watching it now, first of all, being so many years later, and secondly, having zero context outside of it, we're just kind of like, eh, okay.
They still do this. Not with the anime... But, like, they'll have, like, a YouTube video that'll be, like, introducing the new Pokemon. And it'll be, like, that pig thing from Scarlet and Violet. Like, what was that thing called?
Oh, yeah.
Lechonk?
Yeah.
Lechonk. It'll be, like, Lechonk. And they do a good job advertising, because then Twitter or whatever is like, oh, we love Lechonk! And it'll be number one trending topic on Twitter, and there'll be all these memes and fan art about it for, like, a week. And then, like, next week, they'll be like, and here's a brand new Pokemon. And it's, like... Fido or something. It was like, oh my god, Fido!
Do you guys remember when they were promoting, I think it was Sword and Shield, when they did like that nature cam and it was all for like a glimpse of Galarian Ponyta or something? Like,
I know.
It was crazy.
Like, it would run by and you'd see like half of its hoof and then it would run by again like 3 hours later and be like part of its tail.
Yes, oh my god. I don't know why I thought of that.
That was the funniest shit.
Their marketing is pretty good. I will give them that. Of course it is. It's probably the most successful marketing companies ever.
If only they put that money into things that actually need it. Yeah. Like
right.
The games itself.
Well, they've mastered it.
If only.
They've mastered that marketing is everything. If you market it, it will sell, regardless of how well of a product it is.
They know what they're doing.
Yep, that's true for everybody, though.
You always can count. Like, if there's one thing that the Pokemon Company and them can count on, it's word of mouth. Like, they don't really need to do a lot of marketing, I feel like, because people are going to talk about it and hype it up more than any, like, commercial could ever.
It's a different world now than it was in the early 2000s.
It's also weird that there's no competition. You know what I mean? Like,
there's really not.
That's what I mean. Like, everything else has, like, competition, but Pokemon, it's... There's nothing. Like, you have no alternative. Like, if you played an alternative...
Digimon tried.
Yeah, fuck off, Digimon.
Yeah.
Y'all don't they have the marketing and the brand consistency that the Pokemon Company has, so...
I mean, have you played a knockoff Pokemon game? Like, on the App Store or something like that?
Pow World? Question mark.
Not Pow World, but, like, Nexomon or something like that?
No. I remember that. I remember that coming
out. It's nowhere close to the level of fun. Like... It's because you've ingrained yourself in the Pokemon formula and you're like, I like this formula. It's hard to like deter from that.
Well, I think we as a generation have a very toxic relationship with the Pokemon media franchise. See God also this podcast existing and us devoting hours of our days to it.
Yeah, true. True, true, true. I don't remember liking Ruby and Sapphire that much.
Oh, that's a hot take.
Get out of here with that garbage.
But you didn't play them when they were new, did you?
No, I think I played them when I was new and I didn't like them. And then I came back and played, what is it? So what's the remake 3DS one?
Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
Yes, Alpha Sapphire. That's the one I played. I like that. I did like that. I didn't like it when it came out, but when I replayed it, I was like, I like this because this is a new antagonist. I like the new way it took.
Jacob, you clearly do not have the same kind of, I don't know if I would say fond memories, because I remember having a very love-hate relationship with the Braille puzzles of it all.
Yeah.
Or something, that's definitely a toxic relationship right there.
I never did the Braille. I love the Reggies. I wasn't going to do that shit. No, thank you.
It was so, and you have to remember, like, this was back before the days of the internet. So it's like all you had was a guide, if you had the guide. Like, you had to figure it out yourself.
I never did any of that, so...
Heady times.
I beat the game and that was it. I didn't chase the Reggies.
Yep.
Reggie Steel, Reggie Rock. I didn't chase any of them.
Oh, God.
I think that's cool, though. Those days. I like that. I like
I'm sure Reggies. In retrospect, the Reggie puzzles were not probably that hard if you have a guide. Like, you know what I mean?
But we were also how old at the time?
I would have been like 11.
I was in
12, 10. I mean, 11. Like,
I was like 9. Heck? Yeah.
You have to put that in perspective, too. So.
Okay. Yeah. But Alpha and, Ruby and Sapphire's are jewelry, kind of like what we're chasing after here.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. And we get it back. We get the jewelry box back, thanks to the Kecleons and their trickery to mess with Team Rocket with their invisibility cloaks and all that stuff. So that's really cool. And then there's, like, a big battle. I can't remember who. Is it Ash versus Team Rocket, or did the Kecleons take on Team Rocket?
It starts with Ash, it becomes the Kecleons.
Okay, the Kecleons eventually hyper beam Team Rocket and they die. And they fall off the blimp into space. That's not right. They just blast
into
off.
Into space?
They just blast off. Gosh, I forgot Kecleon existed. So this is a really hard episode for me to wrap my mind around.
This is going to sound silly, but it's no Meryl or Togepi.
Yeah.
Those are really exciting debuts, but Kecleon's like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They can't all be exciting.
We learned now that this is just a promotion episode for... What's the movie called? Is this the Hoopa movie? Hoopa?
The Hoopa?
Hoopa movie?
Hoopa?
Hoopa?
No, no. Oh.
Hoopa? Hoopa's like years away.
Celebi.
Celebi. All right.
It finally got out of that GS ball.
Yep. We're celibate for Celebi.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Is that what it's called?
Celibate.
Is that what it's called? The movie? Celibate for Celibate.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's
Celibate
called that.
For Celibate. Yeah, that's it.
Oh my gosh. There's no...
Well, I don't know. That's not a very celibate movie. Ash has some pretty steamy scenes with the character.
The population is dwindling. Ooh. We are losing people daily. We need Celibate to come here and... Make us all fertile again.
What the fuck is going on? Okay, MVP and LVP in quotes.
Okay. Speaking of fertile, I'm going for... Oh, what is this picture here?
God only knows.
It's the Hex Sisters. Oh, that was...
Jacob has girls. Some questionable Hex Girls fan art, I'm sure.
That was the first Google result for Hex Girls.
I don't like that rendition.
Do you have Safe Search on or not?
I think it's all automatically on these days, isn't it?
Probably.
I'm going to...
Probably for the best.
Save some for after the podcast, if you guys remind me. But MVP, LVP...
Oh, I'm sure you could find some interesting art of the Hex
Don't do that. Let's not do that. Let's keep it celibate here. I don't even know who to give MVP to. Oh, my God.
Wait, what's the order?
Me... Let me see. It's me, Austin and then Alex.
Okay.
Oh my God. I'll give my MVP to the builders of the Leviathan 2. Because this thing's actually really cool. LVP, I'm going to give it to that guy that was high, who was trying to explain stuff to people that nobody understood. Mm. Was that the captain?
I think he was just some crew member.
He was like a concierge guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. And then my quote comes from Brock, and he goes, this is like out of stupid context. This is him just trying to help out. He goes, I'm a Pokemon breeder, and I think I can help your Pokemon recover. All I have to do is promise that one of you two will become my permanent girlfriend. Is that a deal? That's really weird.
Oh, my God.
What a weird ultimatum. I will save your Pokemon's life if you date me.
Yeah, Brock's getting worse as time goes
on.
It
is. It's getting harder.
He's getting significantly yeah. worse.
Now he's involving death.
Do it or I'll kill you.
I'll wear your skin.
All right, Buffalo Bill.
He puts the lotion on its skin. Yes, there you go. My MVP will be the Pokemon Company marketing team for being so good at doing what they do. And my LVP will be Brock for withholding medical treatment for sex.
Wow. He deserves it.
Or at least attempting to do so. He's the one who's involuntarily celibate. Let's say that much. My quote will be, a random person in the crowd is talking to the twerps. He says, that's the Leviathan 2 on its maiden voyage circumnavigating the globe. Misty says, it's on its maiden voyage? And Ash says, circumnavigating?
Ash needs a dictionary.
Yep.
Oh, God.
I didn't have to pay for the hospital, but I left a tip. Circumcision joke. What? All right, let's go.
Oh.
Oh.
My LVP is going to be the gentleman guy that they stole the first aid kit from. Because at the end, he makes a disgusting comment where he's like, oh, yes, thank you for returning my first aid kit, which just had some, like, industrial-grade toenail clippers in there. And I was like, the fuck is wrong with your feet, bro? Like,
okay, did we know who this was?
No.
Is it a celebrity?
Did you recognize him?
A celebrity?
In some sense of the word, yes. I'm 99% sure this was the same character design as the guy from the Pokemon Lovers Club with the drowsy and the hypno from season one.
Oh. I'm going to need like a picture for comparison because I wouldn't have remembered that at all.
I thought the guy was going to be like, all my Percocets are gone.
Okay, here's the guy from the Hypno Snap Time.
He's... Nah. Okay, do we have a picture of the guy from this episode?
Yes, right here.
Austin's on point getting these pictures. Oh my God, the Pokemon Lovers Club. That was a great episode. He's... Sort of, kind of.
I think that's
like
close
him.
Enough.
That's exactly the same design.
Nah, I don't see it.
Are y'all fucking kidding me?
I don't see it.
No, it is the same. It's the same. It's the same guy.
That's the same guy.
Austin's right.
He is. I love messing with Austin.
Wow, how did you remember that?
I don't know. The Pokemon Lovers Club really wormed its way into my heart, I guess.
So they have weird feet in the Pokemon Lovers Club? Is that how you get in?
He was too busy getting high off the drowsy wave, so he had to, like, forget to trim his toenails.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that guy gets LVP, whatever his name is, for being really gross and having bad feet.
Same clothes and all, too. It's crazy.
Yeah, he can't even be bothered to change his clothes, and it's been, like, what, like 5 years? Disgusting.
It looks like he's lost weight.
Wow, good callback, Austin. I would have never thought of that in a million years. My MVP is going to be Austin for remembering that.
Oh, I get MVP a second time? Great.
Wait, when did I give you MVP before?
The time I gave vaginas MVP.
Oh, okay, perfect.
You never given me MVP, Alex. God. Well, I guess I never given you MVP either. So I guess
okay, you know what? I'm going to take back my MVP and Jacob gets MVP.
Yes. For the celibate.
That's a pity MVP,
for
though.
The celibate joke.
Yep.
Yeah, yes. Perfect. Yeah, so also there wasn't anybody else deserving of it, so Austin, you get it. My quote is going to be, so this is during the part where Team Rocket has the original plan of stealing the entire blimp, but they don't know how to drive it, so they go to their plan B, which is instead of stealing the blimp, they're going to steal all the valuable items on board and then just make off with that. So that's how they go looking for the jewelry in the first place. But James is kind of bummed out because he wanted to sleep on the blimp. And he says, I was so looking forward to sleeping on a mattress tonight. And Jesse says, after we steal all of the loot on board, you can sell your share and sleep on your wallet.
Ooh.
And I don't know. I thought that was funny.
All right. What's on the menu next week, Austin? We got some good appetizers, maybe? main courses.
Well, I mean, we have an appetizer and a main course here, right, Jacob? It's movie time, you guys. Pokemon Forever. Number four ever.
Oh my gosh, movie time.
Yep, movie time. It includes the Pikachu short, Pikachu's Peekaboo, and the main feature, Celebi, Voice of the Forest.
How exciting, you guys. I was not expecting a movie so soon, but then I feel like it's been a while since we've done a movie, so.
It's been a lifetime since we've done a movie.
Is Celebi the green one with wings?
Yes, Jacob. Okay. Celebi's the green one with wings.
Okay.
He looks like a little radish.
Yeah, with the eyes. Making sure I've got the same Pokemon. Is this a legendary or is it a...
A mythical.
Is this the first mythical Pokemon we've seen?
It's the second.
Second? What was the first?
Mew.
Oh, I'm learning. I'm learning as we go.
I'm always glad to mansplain to you, Jacob.
It's okay. I need it.
That's why you get MVP this episode.
Thank you.
Because you're of endless curiosity.
That's right. I'm able to be mansplained too, so I get the MVP. Thank you. All right. Is anybody got any other mansplaining to do before we close her out here?
If you want to be woman-splained to, go check out our Pokemon bonus episode podcast on our Patreon, where I insufferably something-splain Skyrim to Austin.
Austin, do you have anything to say?
Nope.
Okay. The only thing I have to say is thank you all for listening, and be sure to leave us a 5-star rating. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to outofthedryingpan@gmo.com. Again, that is outofthedryingpan@gmo.com. You can follow us on X, formerly known as the Twitter. The handle is @OutOfDrawingPan. Again, the handle is @OutOfDrawingPan. We got an Instagram called @OutOfTheDrawingPan. Alex runs that over there. She's got some cool, I guess you post pictures on Instagram, some cool pictures. That's pretty cool. And we also have a Patreon, which you can find in the link to the description of the podcast. And finally, be sure to join us next time as this journey continues.
Come and go.